Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, this list of Beatitudes that we have in front of us today has often been said that it is the attitude that Christians need be, right? The Beatitudes, the attitude you need to have. And I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good at all. Now, I mean, Jesus is pointing out all of these wonderful things. The poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the merciful, the pure heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. And nowhere in there does he say that you are blessed if you are working at these. He says that those who are these things are blessed. It's what we would call a stative quality, like a state of being. There's a stative quality there in what Jesus is saying, that this is what his people are. Now, you might read through this and you'll think, well, that's not me. I'm not poor in spirit or meek. I'm pretty full of myself. I'm not merciful, nor am I a peacemaker. I thrive on chaos. Maybe you think I'm not mourning in a good way. I know the hope that I have. I'm not hungry or thirsty for righteousness. I know how to get it. Or maybe I'm not pure in heart. I know my sins. I know I'm bad. I'm not persecuted. I often think I am when people make my life difficult, but I'm not really persecuted. Me, Lewis, I'm not these things. And neither are you. Except for the fact that Jesus, in his death on the cross, has declared you to be righteous. And we talked about this last week for Reformation Day. This righteousness of God is not some fake righteousness. It's not something where God looks at you and you look at him and you kind of go with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing. This is a real righteousness. When Jesus says you are righteous, he really means it. You are. He's given to you not your own righteousness, but his righteousness. And when that comes to you by faith, it changes you. You might say, well, that sounds good, Pastor. Wouldn't that be lovely? I'm still a sinner, though. And I know I don't match up to these things. After all, Pastor, you said that you just didn't match up to these things. What hope can I have? Well, while it is true that while we are in this life, we do struggle against our sinful flesh until the day that we die, the fact is that God sees you because you are as one of his righteous children. He says you're righteous, and thus you are. And that righteousness that he's given to you from the cross, it does these things to you. It bespeaks these things of you. And that's good. And so you may not think that you're poor in spirit, or that you're one of the mourners, or that you're one of the meek, or that you hunger or thirst for righteousness, or that you're merciful, or that you're pure in heart, or that you're a peacemaker. But God says you are. That stative quality that's here in these Beatitudes is true of you right now. Now, you may not be able to figure out all the ways that you can do these things, but if you've been converted by Christ, if you've been strengthened in the faith, if you've been given all of the gifts of God in this church or any other church that you've been a part of, you have these things because they are of the Christian faith. And that faith that God has given to you is perfect. It will not let you down. That faith is in you, and it's continually, constantly converting you, turning you away from your sinful heart and turning you toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we fix our eyes more and more upon him, we begin to see more and more and more of these things in ourselves because we look more and more like him, the one who these Beatitudes truly describe. Jesus is the fulfillment of all these things, and he gives them to you, and so you are all of them. Let's consider each one. Poor in spirit. I've had some people say, and I won't say where or who, but who tell me that they don't like it when we confess the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." They don't like those words, poor and miserable, because they go, "Well, I'm happy. God's given me joy." And I say, "Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I've seen you. I know that you're a poor, miserable sinner. I know how your life really is." In truth, it's only those who can confess this, only those who have come to the knowledge that they are poor and miserable sinners that can be saved. You have to be broken by the law to see that this is true. And then, in faith, you repent. And when you do, when you see that you're poor in spirit, and if that's true, you find forgiveness. And thus, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, this is appropriate on All Saints Day, don't you think, that we think of our mourning? You know, this is the second All Saints Day now that I've been without my father. And all through this week, as the day has drawn closer, I miss my dad more and more and more. It's funny how grief works, isn't it? I think many of you have experienced this yourselves, where that grief doesn't just go away over time. It ebbs and it flows, and some days are better than others. And honestly, this week for me has not been a good one, at least not in my mourning. But that's not a bad thing either, because if I had no love in my heart, I wouldn't mourn. The love that I have for my dad and for all of the saints that have been lost in my life, the love that I have for him, it makes me miss him. And still, I don't mourn as one without hope. The mourning and the loss is real. But we know that it's only for a time. The day of comfort is coming when Christ will come and take away that grief that we feel and the sorrow and the pain, and he'll wipe away your tears in that day of the resurrection. Blessed are the meek. I don't know why, but whenever I hear the word meek, I think of a little mouse peeking out of its little hidey hole in the baseboard, looking to see if the cat's around so that he might finally come out and steal something. That's actually not really a bad picture of what is happening. I don't know where that image came from, but I think it's a good one, that we look around cautiously and we see, is there anything, just a crumb, that God has provided to us that we might live another day? And as we look out of our little hidey holes, we find that God provides for all of our needs. And that's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Out of his provision, he will not give you just what you need to survive, but the entire earth will bend to our wills, giving us what we want and command. We'll never go hungry, but instead we will feast at the table of the Lord for eternity. We'll inherit the earth and all of her bounty. Even as we're looking forward to Thanksgiving in just a few weeks, where they're saying this Thanksgiving is set to be the most expensive holiday in memory, and some of our Thanksgiving dinners might be a little bit more meager than they have in past years, yet we still see how our Lord provides, and in this we give thanks to him for bringing forth the fruit of the earth that he might take care of us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, in these times, especially over the last few years, it's really easy to get this confused with the world's pursuit of justice. Because often what the world wants is just revenge. That's what it's looking for. I mean, look at cancel culture out there, right? It's a big thing today, where someone has said or done something that the world sees as wrong, and that person then the world has tried then to cancel the person who's done or said the thing out of existence, like they don't exist at all. That's the justice of the world. But here, this righteousness that we are to hunger and thirst for is the righteousness of God, the thing He demands of us and gives us. And what does that righteousness of God look like but to obey the Ten Commandments? Now, while we have been counted righteous, we now seek to live according to those commandments, and we know that it would be better if the entire world did this too. We want this because that's what the heart of faith inspires in us. That desire, that righteousness of God has been given to you. And as we continue to mirror that in our lives, we find that we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. After all, if we do this, we will be satisfied. It is enough for you to go to bed at the end of the day and to say, I have done all that I can according to your law, O God. Forgive me for where I've fallen. And even if you should go to bed hungry then, to know that you have been forgiven, that you have sought the Lord's righteousness that He's even given to you, you will go to bed satisfied. Because our Lord says, this is what I desire for you. Blessed are the merciful. Mercy is a wonderful word. I often say grace is the getting of things that you don't deserve, but mercy is the not getting of things that you do deserve. So in the mercy of God, we do not earn His wrath. We do not earn His hell. We do not earn anything evil from God's hand because He has had mercy on you. You will not be forsaken because of His mercy. And so it is for us that even as we look to God as our example, we also are merciful. That means that when someone sins against us, when they do the wrong thing, we say, I will have mercy on you. I will forgive you. As I have been forgiven, I will not hold the sin against you that it might be a testimony against you to send you to hell, but I will forgive the thing that you've done. What a blessed thing. It sounds like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This means that we are asking God to forgive us in the very way that we forgive others. What a scary thought that can be. That we would hold something against someone. God would never do that to you, withholding His mercy. Why should we do that to others? Thus, when we forgive, we know that we are forgiven. And we receive His mercy all the more. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, this is an interesting one because, again, we try to look at ourselves with honest eyes and we say, no, I'm a sinner. I know my heart. I know that I'm not pure of heart. The desires of my heart are actually evil, and yet Christ has declared you clean. He has washed you in the blood of the Lamb. And if that's the case, it's as if the angel has flown to you and taken your entire body and pressed it against that burning coal that was pressed against Isaiah's lips to make his lips clean. And so also then has God made your body, your soul, your being clean. And so also your heart. It is pure and spotless. You are just like the lambs that were offered up in the temple. You are now just like the lamb who was offered up on the cross to be made clean in Christ. You've been counted as a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And you're going to look around and you're going to say again, I'm not good at that. I love it when I get that juicy tidbit of gossip. I love it. I revel when the world is coming against other people. I love seeing people get their just desserts. Can I offer something that I think I've seen in the last few weeks that many people might resonate with? There's a saying out there that was a very vulgar saying against our current president that was then changed to the words, "Let's go, Brandon." And our response to that saying tells us a lot about whether or not we're peacemakers. Just as the response over the last president and certain sayings were said about him, that tells us if we're peacemakers or not. And it's horrible. We know who we are. We love to be a part of it. But if we are to be after the will of God, we are to make peace with our brothers, with our sisters, with everybody, just as the Lord has made peace with God for us. Now, have you seen this image? You might have seen it on a piece of paper, where it's not a very good image. It's used inappropriately most of the time. You've got God standing on one cliff, and you've got man standing on another cliff, and there's an uncrossable divide between them. And the only way to bridge that divide is the cross. And you can kind of imagine the cross coming down from heaven and sitting on both cliffs. And all of a sudden, then, when it comes down, the man is able to run over the cross to where God is. And that's not good. That's not a good image. Instead, think of it this way. The cross comes down between God and man, and Jesus runs to where mankind is and drags mankind over to where God is. That's what we should have in mind. That's what it is to make peace, leaving everything behind, and to bring forth the righteousness of God, to bring that mercy of God to anyone who needs it. Blessed are the persecuted. I like this. It's not enough that we're facing bad stuff. To be persecuted is to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, meaning that, well, we're taking a stand on Jesus' account, right? Because to the persecuted belongs the kingdom of heaven. Now notice this is the same as the one who is the poor in spirit. They get the same thing. It's the same result. Because when you're poor in spirit, you will be persecuted for the sake of Christ. When you're poor in spirit, the world is going to come at you. Now, granted, here in America, we've lived in relative comfort and stability as Christians. Most people have been accepting of Christianity. And I think the tide is turning a little bit in this. But still, the world comes after you. Maybe not through the direct persecution, that suffering that other people inflict on you, but certainly by the world's devices. It chases you and makes you try to follow in its ways. But when you're poor in spirit, when you're persecuted by the world, you know that the kingdom of heaven is yours. For even persecution leads to death. And there you walk through then those doors of death and into everlasting life. Now notice the very last one. Jesus flips the script. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are you. He says in verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. He's not just repeating verse 10, but now he's making this very personal so that if you've been following along, you would know that all of these beatitudes are about you. Whether you think that you match up to these unattainable goals or not, Jesus says they are about you. You know it's about you. And in this, in all of this, as you are poor, as you are meek, as you're mourning, as you're hungry, as you're merciful, as you're pure in heart, as you're a peacemaker, as you're persecuted, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. After all, everyone who's come before you, all of the prophets even who have brought the word of God, they were all killed. And yet look at their reward. We should expect nothing less. Now, this text is a wonderful text for All Saints Day because it reminds us that we are all saints in Jesus Christ. He has made us all holy by the blood of the Lamb. That's what the word saint means. Holy. You are one of the saints of Christ. You are one of those coming out of the great tribulation. Your holiness is from Christ, and it is these things. You are one of the saints of Christ. You and all those we remember in our hearts, all those who have died in the faith, you and they are saints in Christ. You're a sinner. You struggle against that sinful flesh day in and day out, but you've come to this place. You've come to hear the forgiveness of Christ. You've come to receive the strengthening of faith. You've come to have your eyes turned to Jesus in everything that you see and think and say and do. And so you are one of His saints. And so this day, even as we celebrate All Saints' Day, we celebrate you too. We certainly are going to remember those faithful departed, but we're celebrating you too. I'm not saying that you are going to die this year. You might, I don't know. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. But this is a day when we celebrate where Christ, or what Christ has done in you, that He has made you all of these things. You don't have to work to attain them. They have been attained for you through the perfect obedience of Christ and delivered to you by His blood. So take confidence, my friends. These are not attitudes that you need to seek after. They are yours. They've already been given to you. All that is left now is to see our Lord blessing you through each of them. You are blessed, dear saints, and your reward is great in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.